Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be able to stand before you today and to share God's word with you. If you would take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Luke chapter 23 this morning. I've known for several weeks now that Pastor David was going to be away today. He had asked me to fill the pulpit, and so you go through the process of, well, what am I supposed to preach on? You know, you're not in a series, you're not the regular pastor, so you kind of got to feel things out and pray and search God and figure out what God wants you to preach. And boy, I was dead on it a few weeks ago. I knew exactly what I was going to preach, and then that didn't work out. And so then I prayed a little bit more and searched a little bit more and came up again with the perfect sermon for today. And God said, nope, that's not it either. And so a couple weeks ago, listening to the radio, and if you listen to Christian music, you've probably heard this song. It's like every time I turn the radio on, it's playing. But it's entitled "A Man on the Center Cross," or "The Middle Cross," "Man on the Middle Cross." And or maybe the title is "Thank God for the Man on the Middle Cross." But it's a beautiful song, and you can imagine what it's speaking about. It's focusing on Jesus there on the cross and what he did for us, Calvary. But I began to look at that and thinking, that's not what God wants me to preach on. Because as I focused on Jesus on the cross, I begin to focus not so much on Jesus, which he is the primary purpose, don't get me wrong here, but I begin to think about the two criminals, one on the right and one on the left. And I begin to focus on those two men, on how similar they were, because we could imagine that both of the criminals on the cross was probably equal distance from Jesus, one on the left hand and one on the right. But yeah, how different they were too. Because you had one who joined in with the crowd and began to blaspheme Jesus there on the cross. And then you had the other one who somehow or another were able to look over at the Lord and say, Father, or said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I wanted to focus on that guy for just a little bit. Because where did he get that? You know, I told you the last time I was here just a few weeks ago that every single one of us, we have a theology. Theology are not just for preachers or for scholars or professors. Every single person has a theology. And I would admit to you that this guy over here, this criminal over here that joined in with the mockings of Jesus, he had a theology. Just like this guy over here who later would say, Lord, remember me. He had a theology. We all have a theology, and they come from somewhere or another. Our theologies are developed. But I wanted to know, how did this guy get his theology? How did this guy get to the place that he knew that he could look over at the Lord and say, Lord, remember me? Where did that come from? Because we know nothing about this criminal. We know nothing about the thief. We don't know his name. We don't know his background. We don't know anything about him. Except when he's hanging on the cross beside our Lord. Where did he get his theology? You know, I got to wondering about that. Well, maybe when he was just a little boy, maybe he went to the temple. Maybe he went to church. Maybe he had a mom who would read the scripture, the Old Testament scripture to him. Maybe somehow as a child, he was taught. And so maybe somehow he got in with the wrong crowd and began to do the wrong things. We don't know. Maybe it was one day when Jesus was walking through and he began to teach the people and he began to heal the sick or touch the lame or whatever. Maybe this guy was in the crowd. Maybe this guy was in the background. He was watching and he saw what Jesus did that day. Maybe it was that when he was hanging on the cross and he saw the people making fun of Jesus and jeering at Jesus and mocking Jesus and ridiculing Jesus. And he heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Maybe he looked over and thought, "Wow, there truly is something about this guy." See, we don't know. We don't know where he got his theology. We don't know what was going through his mind. But something happened. If you'll look with me at the scripture, I want you to see this morning. Luke chapter 23. And I want to begin reading with verse 39. "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, I ask you to open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Father, we believe that your word is inerrant, it's infallible. It is more truthful today than anything that we might see or hear. And I pray, God, if there's one today within the sound of my voice that's not sure about their salvation, Father, I pray that you would open their hearts to you. Father, use me this morning, as weak and fallible as I am, Father, to speak, thus saith the Lord. And Father, we praise you for what you'll do through your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, what I want us to do, I want us to look at the man on the cross, this criminal. And I want us to look at his theology. I want us to look at this moment that changed his life. And I want you to think this morning, because this is what I want you to get at. This guy over here, he has a theology. His theology sent him to hell. When he closed his eyes on this earth, he opened his eyes in hell. This man over here, equal distance, I believe, to the Lord. This man here's theology took him to heaven. And when he closed his eyes on this earth, he opened his eyes in paradise. What did this guy know that made a difference in his life? There's four parts of this, and I want to go as quickly as I can this morning. But the first thing I want you to see is that this guy had an understanding on the theology of sin. He had an understanding on the theology of sin because he said, you know, we deserve what we're getting. He said, we deserve this. We deserve the punishment. We deserve to die because we're criminal, because what we've done is wrong. And I would suggest to you this morning, before you and I can ever know God's grace, before we can ever know the mercy of God, before we can ever experience the salvation that he provided for us on that middle cross, is that you and I have got to understand that we are sinners and we deserve exactly what we get. We got to realize that. We got to understand that we are sinners. We are born sinners. Listen, we sin every day. We fail every day. We fall short every day. And this guy on the cross, he understood the fact that sin leads to separation, that sin leads to death. He understood that the soul that sinneth shall surely die. He understood all of that. And I think it's because of that that he could look over at Jesus and say, Lord, remember me. He understood sin. He understood that he was a sinner. And you may be here this morning, you may say, well, he was a sinner. He was a sinner. He was a criminal. He was a criminal. And he was a sinner. But so is every single one of us. We're all sinners. Maybe we're not a criminal. If you're not a criminal, then I'm glad. And I know you're glad. But we're all sinners. You don't have to drink a whole bottle of poison to die. It was the scripture teaches us that if you are guilty of breaking one commandment, then you're guilty of breaking all the commandments. If you've broken one commandment, then you're guilty. And so we're all guilty. We're all sinners. We've all failed. And this guy understood that he was a sinner. And listen, we cannot compare ourselves with other people. We want to do that, don't we? We want to do that. We want to look at this criminal and say, well, at least I'm not as bad as he is. But does that really matter? Because let's be honest, we could all look at somebody and find somebody that we're just at least a little bit better. Maybe not a lot, but at least a little bit better. But folks, let me say something this morning. Our criteria, our plumb line, our measuring stick, listen, it's not with each other. Our measuring stick, our plumb line, our criteria is the Lord Jesus. He is the one we compare ourselves to. God said in Deuteronomy, I am holy, therefore you be holy. Peter restated that when he said, God is holy, you now be holy. And you say, well, there's no way I can be holy. Absolutely, you can't. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness that's imputed with you, salvation. That's our only hope. That's our only hope. It's understanding that we are sinners, we are lost without no hope. And if we die in our sins, we deserve that. We deserve that. This criminal understood that. He understood the seriousness of sin. He understood the theology of sin. And I am so concerned today that we live in a society that there's no understanding of sin. Look at the things that's going on today in our society. And you wonder, how in the world could somebody say that they're not sinners? When I'm in Brazil, one of the hardest things to do is to witness to some people because they have the idea that they're not lost. You know, Catholicism is a national religion in Brazil. And if you try to witness to a Catholic, it's hard, especially in Brazil, because they'll say, well, I'm a Catholic. I was born Catholic. Our nation is a Catholic. So I'm good. You know, that's like saying today that I'm good because I've gone to church all my life. Or I'm good because my mom and dad was Christian, so I'm a Christian too. Listen, before we can get some people saved, we got to get them lost first. We got to help them understand that outside of Christ, you have no hope. That we were all sinners. David said, I was born in iniquity. This thief understood that. And again, you'll never know the grace of God. You'll never know the mercy of God until you admit that I'm a sinner. And I deserve to die. I deserve hell outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. This criminal, this thief, had an understanding about the theology of sin. But the second thing that this thief had, he had an understanding of the theology of God. Because when the other thief over here was mocking God and mocking Jesus and blasphemy, this guy over here says what? Do you not fear God? Do you not fear God? You'll never know salvation until we have an understanding of who God is. Till we understand that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, that God is a God of love and a God of compassion, but he's also a God of justice and a God of judgment. Fear God means to respect God, to honor God. Electrician fears electricity. Doesn't mean he's afraid of, but he recognizes the danger of it. And he fears it. We need to fear God. We need to have a holy fear of God. The Bible says that there was no fear in their eyes. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? A lot of people, they don't fear God. There's no respect for God. There's no honor of God. You say, well, how do I know whether I'm fearing God or not? How do I know if I'm not fearing God? Let me mention three ways to you. Number one, there's a flippancy toward God. And what I mean by that is they don't take God serious. They use his name in vain. Every other word is a cuss word using God's. You never would hear that. Now you turn the television on and our TV programs, movies are just filled with it. And I don't know about you, but there is nothing that crawls me worse than hear somebody take God's name in vain. People say, well, he's the man upstairs. God's my buddy. Listen, God's not your buddy. God is God. There is nothing comparison to God Almighty. But yet we bring him down on our level. Instead of man being made in the image of God, we want to make God in the image of man. And we don't respect him. There's a flippancy toward God. Look at the preaching, compromising preaching today. You know, Courtney, I appreciate what you said about having a church that believed in the Word of God. This is the Word of God. But yet we have preaching today that's been watered down. We have preaching today that's man-centered. We are preaching today that the word sin is never used, the word repentance is never used, the word hell is never used. We have preachers like, I'm not calling by his name. It might be your favorite preacher on television. But there's a lot of preachers on television, and I'll just use the term health and wealth preachers, that have so watered down Scripture. I'll say this, if you live your best life today, you're in trouble tomorrow. I'll just say that. But our preaching shows no respect for God. Our use of his name shows no respect for God. And just the careless attitudes of sin shows no respect for God. Folks, there's things going on in our society today that we thought would never, we can't even imagine. 5 years ago, we would have never imagined some of the things that we're facing today. And our kids are being, I don't want to use the word indoctrinated, but in some sense, it almost feels like it is being. There's things going on today. That which is good, we call bad. And that which is bad, or we call good. There's no fear of God in judgment. There's no fear of God's judgment. Is that the scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 10, fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Do you not fear God? Folks, I want to tell you, if we don't have a proper understanding, a proper respect and honor for the majesty of God, we'll never know his grace and we'll never know his mercy. This thief, don't know where he got it. Don't know where it came from, but he had a good understanding to the theology of sin. He had a good understanding to the theology of God. He had a good understanding of the theology of Jesus Christ. And he said, Lord, remember me. He saw Jesus as the sinless Savior. He saw him as the sinless Christ. He said to the guy, he said, we deserve what we're getting, but this man has done nothing wrong. He's done nothing wrong. There's a translation that said, Jesus has never done anything wrong in his whole life, ever. And how true is that? He's never done anything wrong. Listen, if Jesus one time had a bad thought, an impure thought, if Jesus one time ever said an unkind word, if Jesus one time ever committed an unkind or a sinful deed, guess what? He would cease to be our Savior. You can't wash dirty clothes in dirty water and expect it to be clean. And the only way we can find forgiveness for our sin is for someone who is sinless to die on the cross for us. He saw him as sinless, the sinless Christ. This man's never done anything wrong. He also saw him as the sovereign Christ. He said, Lord. He called him Lord. He didn't call him Jesus. He didn't say, hey, you. He said, Lord. And from what my reading of the scripture is, and I may be wrong, but I don't think so, nobody else called him Lord that day. Nobody else called Jesus Lord that day. Peter called him Lord after the miraculous catch of fish. Thomas called him Lord when he saw him up in the upper room, saw the scar, the holes in his hands. But nobody called him Lord that day except for this thief on the cross. He called him Lord. How did he know that? The only throne he had was a cross. The only scepter he had was nails in his hands. The only crown he had was a crown of thorns. The only homage he had was a spittle that was flung into his face. But yet he called him Lord. See, he saw him as the sinless Christ. He saw him as a sovereign Christ. And he said to him, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. Notice he didn't say, Lord, if you come into your kingdom. He said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. He called him Lord. Again, I don't know where he got that from. I don't know where he learned it. I don't know where this theology and this thief was nurtured, but somewhere he knew that. This thief over here said, why don't you save us? Save yourself and us. You know, Jesus could have, couldn't he? He could have saved himself. He could have called in reinforcement. You remember when in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter said, Lord, you know, took up the sword. He said, I'm here for you. Remember, Jesus said, listen, I could call down legions, 12 legions, I think. You know how many angels that is? Somewhere I read a legion is like 6,000 angels. Something like 72,000 angels. Jesus could have just that quickly. Lord, I need a little help here. The angels, 72,000 angels could have come down. Listen, I read in the Old Testament where one angel killed 185,000 men. Could you imagine what kind of damage 72,000 angels could do? If you're the Christ, come down off of that cross. Save yourself and save us too. The only person Jesus wouldn't save was himself that day on the cross. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down myself. He was sinless. He was the sovereign Christ. But he was also the saving Christ. The saving Christ. The criminal said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. Remember me. Saving Christ. He knew there was something about him. He knew that. I don't know how he knew it. I don't know where he got this theology, but he knew that there was something about this man on the middle cross. What a theology he had. See, if you're going to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you got to have. You got to understand the theology of sin. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I have no hope. I have no hope outside of Jesus Christ. I mean, think about this criminal, this thief on the cross. Lord, remember me. What if Jesus had said to him, well, I will, but you know, you got to be baptized first. Or you got to go back to the synagogue and sit in those hard pews. Or you got to tithe. Have you tithed today? Have you given your money today? Lord, I'm stuck. I can't use my hand. I can't go to church. I can't be baptized. I can't read my scripture. Lord, I can't do anything. I'm hopeless without that. And Jesus says, I know. I know. He turned to the only place he could turn. That was to Jesus. He said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Folks, listen to me. If you're trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, you're lost. You're lost. You say, well, Pastor, I believe in Jesus, but I got to go to church, or I got to tithe, or I got to read my Bible, or I got to do all these. No, you don't. No, you don't. Now, don't hear me wrong. Don't leave here thinking, well, I can't wait to see Preacher David. I'm going to tell him what preacher said. No, don't hear me wrong. Y'all tithe. Y'all read your Bible. Y'all go to church. Y'all do these good things. But y'all do them because you're saved, not because it leads you to being saved. It has nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation is from Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, or you're not saved at all. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me alone. And this thief knew that. And he cried out, Lord, when you come to your kingdom, remember me. What a theology. A theology of sin, a theology of the holiness of God, theology of Jesus Christ, sinless, sovereign, saving. But he also understood the theology of eternity. The theology of eternity. He said, Lord, remember me. Not if, but when you come into your kingdom. In other words, this thief knew that there was something past this life. He doesn't say, Lord, I hope there's something later. He says, Lord, I know there's something after this life. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. But there's a lot of people today that's hoping for annihilation. There's a lot of people living today that's hoping that this is all there is because I can live my life however I want to and then I'm going to die and that is it. And there's a lot of people that's banking on that. But this thief knew different. He knew something different. And where he knew that, I don't know. I don't know. But he knew like the Apostle Paul, to be absent from this body is to be where? In the presence of the Lord. He knew that when he closed his eyes on that cross, there was eternity. A place called heaven, a place called hell. He knew that. And for everything he had, he was trusting this man on the middle cross for all eternity. For all eternity. That's the reason I said your theology is going to lead you somewhere. This criminal over here, this thief over here, his theology sent him to hell. This thief, theology, sent him to heaven. And my question to you this morning is this: where is your theology leading you to? Where is your theology leading you to? A place called heaven or a place called hell? There is an eternity. There is an eternity that we're all going to have to face one day. And we'll either spend it in the presence of the Lord for all eternity, forever and ever, or we'll spend it in a place called hell, separated from God, forever and ever. And the decision you make today will determine where you spend eternity tomorrow. This thief on the cross, I don't know where he got it. I don't know where it came from. But his theology, he had the right theology. And it changed his life. What is your theology doing for you? If you're here this morning, you've never given your heart and life to Christ, I beseech you, I beg you to do that. Folks, we don't know. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow. And I don't know about you. I look at the things that's going on in this world today and one and I will talk about it, but I've never seen things like it is. I've never seen the hatred. I've never seen the evil like it is. You know, used to see pockets of it. You know, you see bits and pieces over here. Always farther away from home, wasn't it? But now, it's here. Here it is, all around us. It's not just in one place, but it's global. There is global, almost like a global unleashing of evil, a demonic presence like ever, never before. And I don't know what your theology is about the end of time. But I want to tell you what mine is. Mine is, I believe the Lord Jesus can come back at any moment and rapture out his church and usher in a tribulation period like we've never seen before. And I don't want to miss the rapture. And I'm not going to miss it. Not because I'm good, not because I'm perfect, not because I don't mess up, not because I'm some kind of holy, no, because I've trusted in my Lord. That's all I got. I don't want you to miss the rapture either. I don't want you to miss all that God has in store for his children. And if you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, or if you're here and maybe you've been trusting in other things, maybe you got caught up in some of the other ideologies that you've got to work your way to heaven. Listen, if you work your way to heaven, how would you ever know whether you've done enough or not? You're going to wait till you get to heaven and say, whoop, I hope I made it. I hope I made it. I hope I'm on the right side. Listen, you can't live that way, because if you're going to wait till you find out, it's too late. You got to decide now. Your decision today determines your eternal destiny. If you're trusting in anything other than Christ and Christ alone, I'm sorry, but you're lost. You're lost. But you can be saved today. This altar is open. And just like that thief, don't pray some special prayer or some kind of fancy words or anything. You just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I have no hope except for you. And Lord, I ask you to save me. I ask you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. In the same words that he spoke to that thief, he'll speak to you. Maybe not today, but maybe soon. You'll be with me in paradise. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that your Spirit will move among your people. And whether here in this sanctuary or over the internet, to those that are watching, if there's someone today that's never given their heart and their life to you, and they're not sure about their salvation, help them, Father, to make that decision to trust you today, this very moment. Now is the time of salvation. We trust you to work. In Jesus' name, amen.